Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seminary and Congregation Mount Zion, the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is September 16, 2017, early as Elu 26, 2021. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Yahshua for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? His power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soap-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest this moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soap and in blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The bridegroom cometh. Will your robes be white and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the precious blood of the Lamb? Garments spotless and white as snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside their garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, they'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the precious blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless and the white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The Way the Kingdom is to Come, Part 3, and we're in 13, Symbolic Toad, number 1 and 2. We're on page 12. We're going to do just a little review. We're going back up to page 11, Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Yahshua, their Savior, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now we will read the last part of Jeremiah 30, verse 8, again. Then strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. The reason there will be no strangers is that no one will serve himself there. In the religious realm, strangers serve themselves rather than the Yahweh and their king. But in the kingdom, all will serve Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their king. Once again, in this everlasting kingdom now of David, that's set up here in this 12th hour, as Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David, then they're going to serve David. If I am a minister of the gospel for what I can get out of it, then I'm serving none but myself. But if I am serving for the good of Yahweh's people, then I am serving Yahweh. There are many people today dying for their country. Should not a Christian be willing to die if necessary for the cause of Yahshua? There shall be no more strangers among Jacob that will serve themselves, but they shall serve their Savior and David their King, whom I will raise up unto them. There are two principles brought to light in this statement. One is religious and the other is civil. The one religious is none other than Yeshua their Savior, and the one civil is David their King. If he is to raise David unto them, then it must be that they are going to have a theocratic form of the government as they had in the David's time. Okay, Jeremiah 30 verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Yahweh. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from far, afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Jacob should not fear, because he shall be saved out of his trouble. Yahweh is going to deliver him by a miracle. If it were not a fearful, troublous time, they would not need to be told to fear, not nor be dismayed. It is to be a terrible time of the trouble just before Jacob is delivered. Certainly then, the statement that there is a silver lining behind every cloud is true in this case. Jeremiah 30, verse 11 to 13. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations, whether I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing or medicine. Yahweh's people are to receive punishment, but it is only going to be in measure. For the incurable bruise and grievous wound is as the kingdom lost. Though the bruise is incurable, yet they are to be delivered. Only a miracle can heal an incurable bruise. Thus, before Yahweh's people are delivered, they will be painfully aware that there is no possible way for them to be delivered. But a miracle is to take place. Then all will know that Yahweh alone wrought their deliverance. Jeremiah 30:14-15. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. For the Yahweh's people suffered the loss of their kingdom because of their sin. Jeremiah 30, verse 16. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. This is to begin to be fulfilled when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wound, saith Yahweh, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. For the adversary will take sport of Zion, because apparently no one will be looking after them, and they will have no following or friends, no one to plead their cause. Jeremiah 30, verse 18. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. The city shall be rebuilt, and the palace shall remain. Jeremiah 30, verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them. And they shall not be few, I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. They are going to multiply and be a great people. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Their oppressors are still there. Jeremiah 30, verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? The nobles shall not be of the Gentiles, for they shall have their own government. Jeremiah 30, 22-24. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. He shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Yahweh shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Okay, to find what the whirlwind is, let us turn to Jeremiah 25:15-18. For thus saith the Yahweh Elohim of Israel unto me. Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Yahweh's hand, and made all the nations to drink it, unto whom the Yahweh has sent me, to wit Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings of thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, and an astonishment, and hissing, and a curse, as it is to this day. I made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was first among the nations to take the curse. Jeremiah 25:19. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. Did you know, it just came to me, Gilead Center represented the tribe of Judah as well as Mount Carmel represented the tribe of Judah. They had their prophecy and authority from Ezekiel chapter 4. And yet, Judah had a curse on her. Judah had a curse. And Bethuel inherited that curse. Because whenever he died in 55, Ben-Rodin succeeded him and took over. Or it was actually his wife. Filled in at his death in 1955, and his wife Florence Hollis, she turned out to be an Aiken. As a matter of fact, she married a guy named Aiken. That was her name. Her name was Aiken after she took over and predicted false prophecies, and she sold the property off and absconded with a lot of the money and stole and cheated and whatever. So there was a curse on Judah. And then Ben-Rodin took over and he continued the curse. And then Ben-Rodin came to his end. He filled out the rod period in 1970, but he wouldn't quit his post. Then his wife took over and set her up a post and a new religion and everything. And her husband agreed with her. And then he died a horrible death in 1978. And that to show that he was under a curse. And then his wife died of cancer 6 or 7, 8 years later in the 80s, Lois Roden, to show that she was under a curse. She died of cancer. And then her son succeeded her, Buck Roden, and he killed a Davidian with a gun, and then he ended up in prison. and then the guards killed him in prison. So that was the end of the shepherd's rod period, when the father and the mother and the son died a horrible death, showed that they were under a curse because they were falsely representing Judah. Then Rhodes Johnson took over in 1970 from, he took over the tribe of Judah in 1970, and then what happened to what he did there? He ended up apostatizing, denouncing the truth and counterfeiting it, like the Catholic Church did during the Dark Ages. Brother Johnson ended up doing the same thing they did, trampling the truth to the ground and setting up a counterfeit religion in place of it. And so he died a lonely, cursed man when it was all over with. So, here it is right here. It's right here in prophecy, Jeremiah. I'm going to read to you again, Jeremiah 25:15-18. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations unto whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup of the Yahweh's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Yahweh had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, and hissing, and a curse, as it is at this day. It made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was first among the nations to take this curse. So it made Jerusalem a curse. Or it made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was the first among the nations to take this curse. So the Jerusalem today translating the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So the Adventist Church would be the first today in modern history to take this curse. And that curse is handled down to her daughters, to the Carmel. Even though Vicki Holler wrote and the Latter Rain of Truth and put it in a book, and his textbooks is what we use today, but nevertheless, Judah was under a curse. Jeremiah 25:19. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants and his princes and all his people. Okay, now it says Jeremiah 25:20-29. And all the mingled people and all the kings of the land of Uz and all the kings of the land of the Philistines and Ashkelon and Aza and Ekron and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and all the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tema, and Buz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahshua of the host, the king of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thine hand to drink, and then shall thou say unto them, thus saith ye Yahshua of the host, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Yahshua of the host. This is the Son talking now. Is it? Yahshua here declared that he commenced his punishment with his own people, and he is not going to excuse other people from the punishment. All the nations unto whom he sent it were to drink of the curse. And what he did to punish his people is a sample of what he will do unto the nations. because he will not allow them to go unpunished. Jeremiah 25:30-31. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, Yahweh shall roar from on high. This is Yahshua, actually the Son. Yahshua shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth. For the Yahshua hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Yahshua. The wicked will be destroyed. Jeremiah 25:32. Thus saith Yahshua the host, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. Evil will go forth from nation to nation, for Yahweh will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. It means war. Jeremiah 25:33. And the slain of the Yahshua shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. That's all over the world, folks. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. This verse is not describing the conditions that will prevail as a result of the coming of the brightness of the Yahshua when he comes in the clouds. This is a slaughter from the great whirlwind of the Jeremiah 25:32. It is from war. Why should the Yahshua first bring this on Judah? This is fun time. He brought this first on Judah when he started the judgment. And that started right there at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, 2002-2003. He's a whole year of judgment upon Judah. They're the leadership. That's where this all started. And then to the nations. See, it goes first on Judah, and then to the nations. Because they had the greatest light, and therefore they had the least reason to be wicked. Then when this war starts in the time of the deliverance of the Elohim's people, the most enlightened people will suffer first. Please return now unto Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. This whirlwind is warfare, which does not arrive and then quickly die out. It stays long. It is the start and the latter end of the time of the Elohim, when the Elohim's people are scattered among the Gentiles, just before his people are delivered. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, said to Yahweh, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. The people that were left with the sword found grace in the wilderness, the Gentile world, showing that the sword fell while the people were still in the Gentile nation. Those that were left will be restored to their own land. It is in the time when the true ones and the Israel are left and find grace with the Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:3-4. Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. So this house of David is the Virgin of Israel, the tribe of Judah. That's what we represent. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. She will again be a kingdom as she once was. Jeremiah 31:5-6. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For this shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise, and let us go up to Zion unto the Yahweh of Elohim. Judah is in Zion. Ephraim refers to the kingdom of Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom. Therefore, the day is coming that Ephraim will go to Judah in Zion to the Yahweh Elohim. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith Yahweh, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Let's do that again. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth the child together, a great company shall return thither. A great company shall return. Jeremiah 31:9-10. They shall come with weeping and with supplications, and will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters, and a straight way wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. An announcement is to be made unto the nations, informing them of the good things the Yahweh will do for Israel. Jeremiah 31:11-12. For the Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the house of Zion, and shall refer together to the goodness of Yahweh, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock of the herd and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Let us now turn to Isaiah 30 and read another prophet's prediction of the very same prophecy we have just read about this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 30 describes the wickedness of Judah and Israel and sets forth Elohim's intention to destroy their kingdom. Let us now read Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto thee. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Yahweh is the Elohim of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In the previous verses, the Yahweh sets forth the determination of his people to go their own way, which will lead to loss and shame. But in this verse, he declares that he will wait for a time in mercy for the true ones among them, those who will wait for him. Thus will he be exalted. And a special blessing is in store for those who do wait for him. Isaiah 30:19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he shall answer thee. They shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, not in some other place. Isaiah 30:20. And though the Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Though the kingdom was to be broken up, yet in the time of the restoration, their teachers would be seen of the people. Isaiah 30:21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. When the horse comes to the forks in the road, he wonders which road you want him to take. All he wants is but a gentle touch of the reins by the driver to indicate the road he is to follow. So with the Yahweh's people, the still small voice will clearly direct them in the right way if they will follow it. I know this is true. I rode, I was raised on a, practically on a horse, and I know I rode horses for six solid years out there on the farm, every day practically, and we had some good horses. And all you had to do, whichever direction you wanted them to go, all you just had to give them a gentle nudge with their reins, and just reach for them, tap their neck, and just kind of point them in a direction, and they would automatically turn and go in that direction. And all you had to do just tap them a little bit. All right, Isaiah 30, verse 22-24. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There shall be prosperity, Isaiah 30, verse 25 and 26. And there shall be upon every high mountain, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water, in the day of the great slaughter. When the towers fall, moreover, this is when the high places of all these denominations, all these false churches all over the world, when they fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And the day that Yahshua bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. The day when the Yahshua binds the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound is in the day of the restoration. So this is that restoration. It is the day that the kingdom is returned unto Yahweh's people. And isn't this amazing? Donald Trump has been appointed, he has taken over as the President of the United States. And what is he doing? He's returning the government back unto the people. Mm-hmm. At that time, the moon and the sun will shine many times brighter. This is of the symbolical language, for the sun defined Bible truth. If the sun is to shine 7 times brighter, it would indicate that the truth would become clearer and brighter. Since it is even now growing brighter and brighter, we see it in another evidence that the time this prophecy is to meet its fulfillment is almost here. Isaiah 30, verse 27, behold, the name of Yahshua comes from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of the indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. The sun shines 7 times brighter in the day that the name of the Yahshua cometh. This is speaking of the day of the Yahshua, and according to Malachi, the Yahshua, or the Yahweh, the Father, is the sin of the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Yahshua should come, the Son. Isaiah 30, verse 28. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach into the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of the vanity. There shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. He shall come to sift the nations with vanity, for he knows that vanity appeals unto them. Through it they will be led where Elohim wants all to go who follow after vanity. They will err in their ways through the specially designed vanity which the Elohim shall send them, because they follow vain things. Isaiah 30, verse 29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and the gladness of heart as when one goeth with the pipe to come into the mountain of Yeshua, unto the mighty one of Israel. That is the way you are going to feel if you follow the Yahshua and the truth. Isaiah 30:31, and the Yahweh shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with the scattering and tempest and the hailstone. For through the voice of Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, with smote with a rod. For the Assyrian will be beaten down in the promised land, through the voice of Yahweh. You do not know now what that voice will say. But when it comes to you, when it comes, you will know it. And whereas you do not need to know it now, you will have to know it then. If you look for it, you will recognize it without a doubt. Isaiah 30:32. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which Yahweh shall lay upon him, it shall be with the tabrets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking will he fight with it. Speaking of this event, Nahum said, the fir trees shall be terribly shaken, and the trees will fall. What is happening in the shaking that has already commenced in today's world? Some great men have fallen, and it is likely that the reason the woman Babylon will be put to rule the world will be due to the trees, the rulers, having fallen in the shaking that is now only commencing. Well, Brother Johnson was the last of the prophets to be shaken from the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel of today. So, in essence, that is a sign. That would be a sign right there. That when that happens, and it already happened, that would be a sign that it's time for this here reason, this mystery woman Babylon, to start ruling. The next chapter of Isaiah, like the preceding chapter, starts with the subject of the fall of Judah. Okay, so Judah fell in 2002, from Texas. Judah fell. And it also brings in a promise of the restoration. So, what did Yahshua do? Yahweh sent his son Yahshua to the threshold of the house in Kermit, Texas, 2002. And he called for his chosen new leaders to come out from among them and be you separate, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And we did that very thing. He received us. And lo and behold, he brought the others to their end. Took a whole year for this all to happen, from Passover to Passover, from 2002 to 2003. And then he brought us to this fair land where we're at today. And we're rejoicing in it. We are told the reason Judah fell was that they trusted in Egypt rather than obey Yahweh. But in other words, they trusted in Babylon, the woman. They were trusting in the woman, Mystery Babylon. Let us continue by reading Isaiah 31:4. For thus saith the Yahshua, nor the Yahweh, spoken unto me. Let's do that again. For thus hath the Yahweh spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yahshua the host come down to fight for the Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Yahweh is not going to be afraid. He is going to come down to fight for the Mount Zion, the kingdom, to restore it. How do we know it is the kingdom? Please turn with me to Isaiah 1:27-31. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yahweh shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks that you have desired. And you shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen, for you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water, and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That is what happened anciently unto Israel and Judah, but what is to happen at the last? Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. For the hill of Yahweh then is the kingdom restored. Let us continue with Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds fly so will Yahshua of the host defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Now this word Passover, when he passed over Egypt on the night of the Passover for the deliverance of the children of Israel, those that got behind the blood on the doorpost, he passed over them. And by passing over them, he preserved them. And those that didn't have the blood on their doorpost, the firstborn of every household, including the firstborn of all the animals, died. So he didn't preserve those Egyptians that wouldn't obey his command of the blood. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Yahweh is calling for the reformation of the people other than the children of Israel who have deeply revolted against Yahweh. Isaiah 31:7-8. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, and he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Then when this idolatry is cast away by every man, the Assyrian will fall by the sword, and the time when the Elohim pleads for his people to return unto him, and when they do it, then the Assyrian will fall. Not before that. It was because of their idolatry that they lost the land. And Yahweh is not going to bring his people back to their land with their idolatry. Therefore, we and all of Elohim's people must not delay putting away our idols. We had better cast them out and be ready on time to go to the place where it will be so much better than it is in the present world. For there none will be tired or sick or lonely or afraid. Isaiah 31:8. Then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. For the Assyrian will fall by a sword, which Elohim himself shall send. Assyria will not fall by a mean man. His fall will come under the circumstances that will clearly show that Yahweh caused it to happen. When ancient Israel fell, it was Yahweh who brought it. It was Yahweh who was responsible for it. So it will be also with the Assyrian unless she too turns unto Yahweh. Moreover, it is a vain thing for them to look to some other nation for help. None can stay Elohim's punishment. Only Yahweh can help at such a time. Isaiah 31:9. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith Yahweh, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. At the time Yahweh's purifying fire is in Zion, and his purifying furnace is in Jerusalem, the Assyrian will pass over to his stronghold, for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. From this we can see that Nineveh will not lose out completely when she loses in Palestine. She is to lose out in Palestine first and then flee to her stronghold. This has reference to the time when the kingdom is set up before the scarlet-colored beast comes, before the woman rules the beast. Indeed, this prophecy is talking about Assyria, not Babylon. It shows that Assyria will lose out in the promised land. Before she loses her stronghold, the kingdom then is to be established before the complete fall of Assyria takes place. The kingdom is going to be established, moreover, in Zion and Jerusalem, not in Washington or Mount Carmel. They're in Waco, and many peoples and nations shall flow unto it. It will happen just as soon as every man casts away his idols. It is useless to expect it before. As soon as that happens, Assyria will fall in the land. The coming of the kingdom then is not waiting for anyone but Elohim's own people. Let us return to Jeremiah and read a few more verses from the chapter we were studying earlier, Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Both old and young will rejoice together. Jeremiah 31:14, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Yahshua. Or the saith Yahweh. All will be satisfied. Okay, Jeremiah 31. Fifteen and sixteen. Thus saith Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith Yahweh, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahweh. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. This includes all of Elohim's people living and dead, Jeremiah 31:17-18. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Yeshua, or the saith Yahweh, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thus, thou hast chastened me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Yahweh my Savior. How different is Ephraim at the time of his deliverance compared with what he was like when he was taken captive? Once he was like a wild bullock, but now he is tamed. We have read a number of scriptures here today. Now let us very briefly summarize what we learned from it. For we learned, number one, what is the time of Jacob's trouble? Number two, the kingdom will be set up in a time of war. And number three, the whirlwind and sword war is the evil, the curse, that is to be sent to all the nations unto whom the Yahweh will send it. Number four, the evil war is to go from nation to nation and is not to be of a short duration. Number five, Elohim's people will be delivered in a time of the great trouble. Number six, they must cast away all idolatry as a prerequisite for the being delivered. Number seven, for the Gentiles will have their trouble when they are called out of the Babylon. Today's study dealt mainly with Jacob's own trouble and about his being delivered from the Assyrian yoke. For the great and dreadful day of Yahweh is fast coming. Let us each be ready for it on time, lest we lose out altogether. Okay, that brings us to the end of 13 Symbolic Code number 1 and 2. And we're getting pretty close to the end of our study as well. Okay, let's look at our next study. That'd be 13 Symbolic Code number 3 and 4. We're going to continue on. And it's called the Latter-day Confederacy. All right, let's see. It says that this study was given about 1940. This study was given by the V.T. Hall September the 30th, 1939, and June the 22nd, 1940. Through the prophecy of Isaiah 7 and 8, we plainly see that Yahweh's people are approaching a time that will demand of them great faith in the blood of the new covenant, to believe implicitly in the Elohim's word only. Since the experiences which are recorded in the Bible were written for the ensamples or object lessons for the Yahweh's people today, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Let us read a few verses from Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 8 and glean the lesson there may be hidden there for us. Isaiah 7:1, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Joseph, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. This verse, in the conjunction with the verses which follow it, reveal that the Yahweh favored Judah, the true tribe kingdom, that's the house of David, even though at the same time Ephraim, the ten tribe kingdom, were also his people. The reason he favored Judah in this instance was that their brethren, Ephraim, had joined heathen forces to fight against Judah. Therefore, Yahweh could not bless Ephraim's endeavor. Through this experience, we should gain the lesson as a Christian that Elohim will not bless the endeavors of any of his people when they join heathen forces in order to gain strength in their effort to overcome their brethren in the Asher, whom for some reason they wish to have put out of their way. Such an alliance cannot prosper. That's what happened down at Kermit. Brother Johnson mustered everybody that he could muster on of the membership to join him and casting me out of the kingdom. Now they just isolated on me at first, and when they got me cast out, then they went to work to try to retain and get Catherine, my wife, and Alan DeLong to stay with them. They didn't cast them out at the same time. It's just that whenever it was obvious that they were going to stay with me, then they were cast out. Isaiah 7 verse 2. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. Okay. So who did Brother Johnson then represent? He represented the Syrian, the leader of the Adventist Church, and the Adventist Church was represented by Ephraim. So Brother Johnson, being the prophet, the mouthpiece for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he went and got the members of his church, which represented Ephraim, the members of Ephraim, SDA Church, and he got them to join in him in the Confederacy. Okay. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. The people of Judah were afraid. How would we feel if a like experience should befall us now? What would sustain us through it? Yahshua again would be the only hope of his people. Isaiah 7:3-9. Then said the Yahweh unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sir Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of the risen with Assyria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein, for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. So they want to take the northern tribes want to come down. They want to make a breach upon Judah. In other words, overthrow Judah and set one of their own men upon the throne of the kingdom of David. The ten tribes represent the kingdom of Ephraim. They want to have a man sitting upon the throne of David, represented by the ten tribes of Israel. In other words, it would be like the Seventh-day Adventist Church coming to Brother Johnson and saying, hey, I want to send a man down here from the General Conference to be the head of Gilead Center. Okay, and you step down. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within a 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Yahweh was here telling Judah that they should not fear this alliance because he was not sponsoring it. So this was going on there in Kermit in 2002. This is what took place down there. There was a conspiracy going on there at Gilead Center with two servants there diametrically opposed to each other in character and in purpose. And Yahshua was sponsoring the younger one, David, because he was of the tribe of Judah. Brother Johnson was the other one. He's the adversary. He's from the ten tribes Ephraim, ended up sitting upon the throne of Judah, though. And Yahweh had to get rid of him, and so that's what was going on. Israel and Syria were dependent on nothing greater than their kings and the capitals of their nation. Judah was instructed to depend on Yahweh's words, which declared that these allied powers would fail to overcome them. Moreover, Judah was told, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. In other words, Judah was told that if they did not believe what Elohim was telling them, they would lose out. The survival, therefore, was wholly conditional on their complete belief in the Yahweh's promise only that the alliance formed against them would fail. The day is coming when you and I, too, must depend entirely on Yahweh's word, but unless we know what Yahweh's word is, it is impossible for us to believe Him. This brings in verse 36. Our contact is at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight, have a hope to hit my face. For the storm's a hell above me, and there's no hiding place. The crash of the thunder crashes, y'all hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow this dawn, never darken the sky. Till this dawn passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds are low forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore, in the land where the tempest never comes beyond my heart. Dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds grow forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.